chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have Jillian Tedesco on the show today. Jillian is the founder and CEO of Fit Flavors. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Jillian, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I am so delighted to have you today. I told you, I feel like I need some therapy. And so this is going to be kind of free therapy for me. I'm so excited because I think you and I have got a lot of things in common.
I can tell.
And I have to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Brett Gillian, who actually connected us. But I told you, when I used to work out regularly, I was doing Chesterfield CrossFit with Justin McPherson. And I remember back in the day, him telling me about you and telling me about Fit Flavors. And he's like, this is a great way. And I think you were even doing some cooking for him at the time too. So I've known about you for a long time, Jillian. So I'm just so delighted to have you. And I cannot wait for our listeners to hear your story. But before we get started, I kind of want you to take us back to growing up. I really laughed to myself because I know that you grew up in Akron, Ohio, but your senior year, you said your mom got a new job in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yes.
Which is hard. That was your senior year to have to move.
It was rough. Yep.
But I laughed because she goes, I went from this busy, big city to feeling like I was a country bumpkin. I thought that was so funny.
I think the biggest shock for me was, you know, I grew up, like I said in the book, all the boys like spiked their hair and wore athletic clothes. And then when I was in school in Murfreesboro, like boys would come to school in like hunting gear and Carhartts, and they would have like these big fish hoods on their hats. And a lot of them would like dip in class and spit into their Coke bottles. And I was like, what is this? You know, so it was a little bit of a transition for me, even though like athletic boys would dip too. It was just like a thing.
Yeah. Hopefully not as much dipping anymore with all the news on tobacco and what it does to your mouth and that sort of thing. But I just thought that was so funny. But you played softball.
I was a big athlete growing up. Yep.
Even had a chance at a softball scholarship. But at that time you started doing some personal training, and this happens a lot in it's a great way, right? Because you said, hey, I can start making money now. We had a son that did the same thing. He's like, hey, I can start making money. And so you became a personal trainer. And yeah, I just wanted you to kind of tell us about this journey though. And I've got some questions for you because I know that you moved to Miami with a boyfriend and started training at the Intercontinental Hotels at their facility there.
I think getting uprooted when I was a senior in high school, that's definitely a shock. And I've had friends who's moved around like Benny Bratz or whatnot. And I think when you're moving all the time, that's your norm. But when you've been in the same place your whole life and then you get uprooted your senior year, it just kind of rips like everything from beneath you. And I went from a small school of knowing a lot of people. I think I was going to run for like class vice president. I was playing varsity for 3 sports, you know, like I had a boyfriend. And then when I moved, the school was substantially larger. And I tried to play all 3 sports. It was just a lot more competition, which was to be expected. But as a senior, I didn't start with basketball. Like I sat the bench. I watched sophomore start over me that were towering over me. I mean, they should have started over me. They were 6 foot tall, you know? So maybe if I would have grown up there, I would have focused more on one sport. But just my senior year was just kind of, I watched it all go by. I made friendships, but nothing that stuck. And then, you know, when I graduated, I had an opportunity to play ball in college, but at that point I just needed something different. And I really got into fitness just going to the YMCA over the summer. And I thought, this is what I want to do with my life. Like, I was so sure. I just loved fitness and how it made me feel. So I just dove right in head first, got certified. And I'm like, I really don't even need to go to college for this. Like, I could get a degree, but I don't need one. So I even did more studies and got more certifications. I got a nutrition certification. And then while working at a local gym, the owner there presented me with an opportunity. He said, hey, I got a gym in Miami. I can't get down there. I'm running this facility. I need someone to go down there and run it for me. And I was dating a new guy and he asked us to go down. So I just dropped out of school and said, I'm going to just take this opportunity. So at 19, I packed up a two-door car with him and we drove down to Miami. We were in Coral Gables in Coconut Grove area.
Oh, beautiful
area. It was close, but it was not South Beach. Some people think South Beach. I think I only went to South Beach one time when I was down there. I wasn't of age, so I couldn't go out. And quite frankly, I was working. I was building my book of business. So I worked a lot of hours when I was down there. So I grew up very, very quickly. All my goals and my focus shifted from partying and friends to work, building a career, and studying nutrition. Like, I got really into it at a young age. And so we were only down there just about a year. He wasn't the best guy. And, you know, we were kind of getting ready to be on the outs. And one last stab to make the relationship work, we moved to St. Louis of all places. And I was like, I'm not going back to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'll go anywhere else. So it was almost like, he's like, I have a friend in St. Louis. I'm like, that's fine. Let's go. So that's how I ended up here.
So that's how you ended up here. And I'm so glad you did, because you are doing amazing things, and I want to get into that. And I know that, you know, you started working as a personal trainer at a studio in Chesterfield. We lived in Chesterfield for 24 years. But Julianne, I want to talk to you about something that's really kind of difficult to talk about. But I feel like there may be women, there may be young girls that are listening to this podcast that can relate to this. And I want to get your perspective on it. So this boyfriend, you said he turned out not to be such a great guy, and not to throw him under the bus, but he was somewhat abusive. You know, I mean, you're open about this. He was abusive. He was very controlling. You said you never went to South Beach because he was so controlling.
I was just scared to do anything. He was about 4 or 5 years older than me. So like when I was 19, he was 24. So yeah, he was 5 years older than me. So just kind of growing up with him, 19, 20, 21, in those really like influential years, you know, I left home and then I was with him, and then he was an adult, and I didn't realize it so much at the time. But I remember one time I was making him oatmeal, and I made it and I brought it over to him on the couch, and he didn't like the way I made it. As I was walking back in the kitchen, he stood up and he screamed at me and he threw the oatmeal at me, and it went all over me and all over the kitchen. And, you know, like, you stupid idiot, you know how I like my oatmeal. And I just remember thinking to myself, I'm not going to put up with this. Like, I deserve someone to treat me good. I'm a kind, loving person. And that was the first time I was like, why am I putting up with this? And I'll admit, I was scared to leave him. You know, I was in a new state by myself. We were supporting each other. So like, to just to leave and go out, I wasn't ready yet, but I definitely made the connection that I deserved better. And that's when I started realizing, like, what am I doing in this relationship?
I see this a lot where women, they gravitate toward the bad guy. And I think it probably is some fear. I have another really dear friend that's my age now, and she stayed in an abusive relationship for several years because she was basically afraid. And this boyfriend would tell her, you know, if you leave me, I'll hurt you. I mean, no one deserves that.
No, and I don't think I was ever that bad. Like, he never threatened me like that. He just said other really awful things to me about my body and just about my work ethic. I think just to belittle me and control me to thinking like I needed him to survive. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I think it just being afraid to take that leap of faith that you can do it. You're going to figure it out. Anytime we take a step forward, even if we fall, we get the opportunity to get back up again. And then we're stronger because we just overcame that thing we did. Sometimes I look at how far I've come in life with my business, and I have to step back and go, I didn't even graduate college. And like, I don't even do some of the things at my company that are awesome anymore. Like I have really smart people around me that are doing things, but it's like, I'm still leading the ship. You know, it's just, I think I'm more comfortable with not failing and taking risks. And, you know, maybe that relationship was one step to giving me more confidence. So like confidence starts to blossom, you know, when you take risk and you take a chance and you trust your faith and you take one step forward. So I would just say like, you're not stuck. Okay. No matter how bad it is, and you can get help. I didn't even seek out help, but there's so many people, organizations that can support you when you're making a transition like that. It's just, we're so scared to talk about it because we're ashamed, you know, or we're embarrassed, but we're only hurting ourselves and keeping ourselves held back even longer.
That is so good. Well, I want to move into something more positive though.
Sure.
You started working at this gym and I told you I cracked up about this because you laid eyes on your now husband, Jason. You said, we stared at each other for 3 months, but we never said a word. And now he's your husband and he just sounds like an amazing person. So when you were 22, you opened up a fitness studio, your own fitness studio. And I also laughingly think about Mr. Eggs. You had a partner and you did this for 3 years. Now, ultimately, that didn't survive. I don't know if he went on and continued that studio after you left, Jillian, but you know, you guys kind of had a difference of opinion and then you decided to leave. But you know, 10% of startups fail in the first year. You know, what were the things that did not work? I mean, I guess it was probably, there was a little bit of incongruency with your partner. You got to make sure. My dad always told me, if you can do a business without a partner, do it without a partner. Now, my husband and I are partners in our business, but that's hard sometimes, especially when you don't see eye to eye.
Totally. I think, you know, I was very young and I didn't have any experience. And when you go into business, a lot of times we go in with our passion and our excitement behind us. We don't think about the yucky stuff because it's not fun. But the yucky stuff sometimes is really important to at least be aware of. You're signing a marriage document to someone who you don't even know if shares the same values as you, maybe the same beliefs, the same vision. So those things right there are basics. I didn't know. We never had those discussions. I just thought, oh, I want my own studio. Like, here, let me invest my entire savings of my life. 60 grand for a 22-year-old is a lot, but it's not the end of the world. So it's all relative to where we are in life, right? But, you know, when we got in there, I realized he was very hermity. He was very quiet, keep to himself. He didn't want to talk to a lot of the customers. I was more so the face of the business. And then he wanted to spend a lot of money on the way the studio looked. And I thought, we need to do marketing. And so we just weren't seeing eye to eye on a lot of things and bad communication. So just basic stuff. I just say it's because we were so young.
Yeah.
I didn't go and seek out mentorship from other entrepreneurs or CEOs. Like at that time, I didn't have access to those type of people. I mean, maybe I had some clients at the time, but that thought didn't even really cross my mind at the time. So really surrounding yourself with more successful people and people that you can tap into. And like today, I have an array of people that I am surrounded with that I can tap into or call if I have questions. I have learned now the position I am in life and with my company, asking for help is one of my tools. Like when I can ask for help, I bring in an expert because I can't. And so I always say like, we look good because I'm not afraid to ask for help. That's it. It's not just me. I'm over here with a crew of people helping me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, there's wisdom in many advisors. There really are. But I always say, you know, just make sure you pick the right advisors, ones that are trustworthy. And as you said before, share your values and your beliefs. Mm-hmm. You had the studio from 22, the age of 22 to 25. I cannot believe, honestly, that you'd saved up $60,000, you know, by the time you were 22 and you put that money. And when that did not work, you talk about how it was such a dark time. And I want to read something that you said. This was such a dark time in my life. I had no faith, and I quickly fell victim to anxiety. With fear and worry causing so much stress, you put yourself in the hospital. And I remember reading in your book, you thought you were dying. Your heartbeat per minute was 220 beats a minute, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. You said, I know today that it was the fear of not having purpose in my life that caused anxiety. And out of desperation, I called out to God to help me. And your mom, although you had not really necessarily practiced, your mom was a faith-filled person and you remembered back. I think you said she had an old blue robe or something. Sit down every morning with her Bible and study. But you said you asked God if he was real to show you. And you said this prayer was the beginning of the biggest pivot of my life. God showed up and taught me that I could replace my fear and worry with faith and hope. And that is exactly what I did.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. That just gave me chills.
Beautiful. So this was kind of that you hit rock bottom because you're thinking, here I have, I've put all my savings in here. You know, I don't have a formal education. What am I going to do now? And you hit rock bottom. And I'm so glad, though, Jillian, you could have taken all kinds of steps there, but the step that you took was to reach out to God and say, if you're real, I need you. So that's where I want to leave off, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jillian Tedesco.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
Welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Jillian Tedesco. So Jillian, we left our poor listeners on a cliffhanger there. So you had this dark time, you reach out to God, God showed up for you. So tell us about that journey, if you would.
I don't want to just say I prayed and God swooped in and he made everything okay, because if anybody listening now is feeling like desperate or just really down, like I want to encourage you to look that route. But I do want to be honest with you and let you know there is work involved in your efforts. So I put God first in my life. It takes time and it takes focus. So we pursue our careers for how many hours a day, and then our family, and then our own self-care, and then our home care. So it's like, where does God fall into that? You know, and when I first prayed that prayer and I came home, I thought, I don't know anything about this. I have to seek. And so I did. I seeked. You know, God says, seek and ye will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Ask and it will be given to you. So I think I just did that, not knowing that verse, but I read a book alongside with getting into the word. And God had put some people in my life at the very beginning of my story that kind of pushed me along and kind of got me going. And there was a couple months where I had some, I would say, emotional healing in there, where I journaled a lot of my thoughts out. I always say, like, my journal was my therapist, but like I would write Dear God instead of Dear Diary. And I would express my things to him and he would give me perspective and understanding through his word. I learned how to forgive. So breaking up with my ex-business partner, I was filled with just resentment and like, how was I going to relinquish that negativity to bring forth positivity? So I had to let that go. And that healing process is brutal sometimes, but God swooped in and just healed. And he gave me the knowledge of what I needed to do. And I was able to take the right steps and move forward. So I put in the effort and it changed my life. So then after that, I felt like when I started to get some understanding and hope in my life, God basically had brought back to me that, oh, you have this passion for nutrition. It's always been in there. It's this burning desire for helping people eat a different way, you know? And when I would train people, I would ask them questions about what they were eating or how they were shopping or how they were meal prepping. And I was always counseling and coaching around food, which I know a lot of trainers don't specialize in, but that was like my focus even before training, because I knew more results would come from how we eat than how we train. I said, oh my gosh, like now I don't have this job anymore, this business. Like I could go to culinary school. And, you know, I'd always thought about that in the past, but I was like, that is never an opportunity. I'm a business owner. Like I just closed that thought down. But then when it came up again, I was like, this is my opportunity. You know, here I am 25 and what else do I have to lose? Like I've already lost everything. Like it's a risk. I'm going to do it, you know? So I signed up and I enlisted in culinary school and I listed, but I didn't start till January. And when I walked out of my business, it was May. It was my 25th birthday when I had my falling out with my partner. So I think I started to get my head right and wrapped around what I was going through around August. And God said, follow your passion. He told me to follow my passion, which was food. And he said, I got you. I don't remember exactly how he presented me with that, but I felt this security that I could just go for it. And I just said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I literally started cooking for 4 people that weekend. Just let me meal prep some food for you. And it started really sloppy.
Yeah.
I had a small party over my house and then people loved my food and they were like talking about it. And I said, I could make your meals for you next week. And that's literally how it started. So with a bunch of Tupperware that I was trying to collect back for the next week or two, I was bringing meals to the gym. And then I said, I got to source containers. And then it just quickly picked up. And I think by January, I was cooking for 10 or 15 people. So I had this little personal chef business on the side when I went to culinary school.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, Jillian. And I want our listeners to understand this. So Jillian is training during the day. She's going to culinary school at night, Monday through Thursday night. Friday night, she is going to Costco and wherever else she shopped to get her food. Then she's like doing some prep work on Friday night. Saturday, she gets to where she's cooking all day long. I mean, at one point, Jillian, you were making 650 meals on the weekends. And then Sunday was spent delivering.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you were working 100 plus hour weeks.
You know, what's funny is too, as I was like living on those stupid rock star drinks because I wasn't sleeping as much and I was tired, you know, and school was exhausting and I loved school, but it was a lot to do. There were no breaks. There were no weekends off. There were no night with friends. It was every night, every weekend for a year. No breaks.
Here you are, a young woman, and most of your friends were going out on Friday and Saturday nights, but no, you're home meal prepping.
Planning for the week ahead, yes.
I absolutely love that story because you figured out that you were had so much anxiety and depression because you did not feel like you had your purpose. You found your purpose and God helped you with that. And when you have a purpose like that and you have a very strong why, that is what keeps you going. So, you know, a lot of people would say, there's no way I could do that. But I mean, you know, your resilience and stuff came from your strong belief that this is what you were meant to do.
I was completely gassed up on the whole thought behind it. It never felt like work. I mean, maybe I was bummed I couldn't like do something on a weekend or go on a vacation, but like I was always gassed up to get more clients and do more meals and continue to grow it and press forward in this new plan because it didn't feel like work. There was so much enjoyment from the people I was bringing the food to. You know, I knew I was helping people finally.
Yeah, that is awesome. Well, you know what? I also cracked up when I read when you were doing all this meal prep, you were doing this out of your house. And at one point, which is crazy to me, you had 9 refrigerators and 1 oven.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, you had got the operation going.
In your house, sometimes you have that like formal living room. It's like the front room. It's now my dual office. It's the room I'm sitting in right now. But when I got with Jason, he had too big of a house for a single guy and he had all these empty rooms. So I just put like, I think I put 7 refrigerators in here and I had 1 in my kitchen and 1 in my garage. So I had 9 refrigerators throughout the house. And then I had a back stock area in this big room and a big piece of plywood that I had packaged the meals on. I bought induction burners that I put on like a folding table that we would run extension cords to like boil water and boil pasta and blanch vegetables. And I would pull the grill up to the back door and I'd be firing proteins. And then when the proteins would be off the grill, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be my second oven. So I'll just turn it down and I'd roast veggies and roast all kinds of things in the oven on sheet trays. And I just made it work.
What an amazing story. So in 2013, you opened your first brick and mortar.
Yes.
And that was in Chesterfield. And then in 2015, you opened your second store in Brentwood, then your third location in Creekor. And then I think you've opened up one in St. Peter's too, right?
We acquired a competitor right before the pandemic hit.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been such a cool thing. You know, and I love this too. You said, you know, you studied with Chris Tucker and you loved
him. Actually through my internship. So he was actually at a country club. He's in line to be the executive chef at a country club. And he's very similar in age. He's just a couple years older than me and we're both athletes. So we clicked very quickly and he kind of took me under his wing. And I didn't know the first thing about running a facility. You know, I knew how to make food healthy, but he knew how to run a production facility. And We just became good friends. And,
you know, he was kind of your mentor, your teacher. And then you asked him to come on board and you said you were shocked.
Yeah.
But he said, yes. And he's still your executive chef today, correct?
No, actually, I promoted him. He just runs our entire production facility. Yeah. So he oversees, we have three departments back there. There's the kitchen, there's the packaging department now, and then there's the distribution. So he's got a lot of people under him.
Well, you know, we touched a little bit on purpose. So tell me this. I mean, you've got the purpose, you know, I mean, you know what your purpose is. How are you helping your team understand their purpose and keeping them engaged?
So one of the things I started doing several years ago as the company started to grow and I could get my feet under me is I realized I had to start leading differently. So here I was, this girl cooking out of my house. Now I got a couple stores. Oh, don't forget, I had two children. So like I had to mom for a couple years and like things just started to slip internally with my business, including company culture and processes and procedures. And when I could come back up for air and then I got the right employees hired, that was another thing, is making sure I had the right people in the right seats. I started conducting our leadership team meetings. And what has been really important is me explaining what our vision is. What is our mission? Helping them understand the marketing side of the business. So you got production people on the leadership team, but they need to understand marketing. They need to understand. So communication skills. I mean, I've received feedback from my team, like just what do you guys need from me? It's always more communication. I present like an update on here's where the business is going. These are the big things we've got in the future we're thinking about. Here's kind of like the timeline, just keeping people like, okay, this is what's going to be next kind of thing. But when we started sitting down and really establishing company objectives, so our goals for the year, and then creating metrics for every objective, it started to really get us aligned as a team. So we're like, okay, so everybody's goals are aligned to the objective, basic stuff. But when you start, you know, you got to figure all this stuff out on your own. I know at corporations, they have all this stuff already there for you. So if you've ever worked in corporate and you come onto a small business, that might be a benefit that you had before, is like someone sitting down and speaking goals with you. Like these are all things I had to learn to do and provide for my employees. And one of our company objectives this year, actually our first one, I don't know if they go in any specific order, but is improve company culture and employee engagement. So like we have got so many things in place to engage our employees more, because we know that is really what minimizes turnover, gets people excited, gets people aligned with the mission, you know, and it's also finding the right people. It comes down to a lot of things to work, but it's something you have to pour into. And we put a lot of effort into it. And I would consider, you know, one of my big tasks and responsibilities as CEO is the company culture. I spearhead that. Like I'm kind of responsible for that in the leadership team. Like I pour a lot into that and their development. So as I develop my leaders, they're able to develop their leaders, and it just goes down, you know, it trickles down. So I actually hired, not a business coach, she's HR leadership, anything HR. But what I found is she's really great with sitting down and coaching me how to work with my leads, but then coaching them how to work with their leads, and then restructuring the organization. We've been restructuring our organization internally for over the last year, getting the marketing team brought up, the back of house brought up, the sales force brought up, because our business has doubled in the last 2 years. So like, I have a restructuring meeting after this on like changing people's job descriptions and just getting us ready for the next several years. You know what I mean?
So one of the things that I heard though, this doesn't just happen.
No.
You've got to spend time on this. You've got to spend energy.
I've read books on this. Like
reading books, learning.
Personality tests, working with other entrepreneurs and how they run their business and getting feedback from their experiences. A lot of experience shares, you know. One of the things that was really cool is I did like a culture index. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have.
Just understanding it. Did I have the right person, personality, and the right role, you know, for what they're doing at work kind of thing. And it's been eye-opening.
It's a lot of work, but yeah, but it's so worth it when you go down that route and just constantly just be growing, you know, as a leader, and then growing your organization and changing and improving, right? It's a continuous improvement cycle for sure. And if you're not doing that, you may get left in the dust.
I will say one more thing. I felt like our business really whomped up really quickly in the last 2 years. And I said, you can look at our books and our sales tell you one thing, but you can look at the internal heartbeat of the culture and the engagement of the employee and see a completely different thing. So if you don't elevate the culture and the engagement to match the sales, I don't think you have a sustainable business. Like, yeah, you might, but you're going to have a ton of turnover, unhappy employees. Like, it's going to be chaos. Like, you have to bring them up as the business is moving up. You have to pour into them and bring them up professionally so they can elevate with the company.
Well, I tell you what, we could just talk for hours and hours and hours on that. But I love what you're doing, feeding people nutritious food. You say here, most health issues skyrocketing today stem from bad eating habits. Food should be our medicine. And we have these amazing machines that God has created and that we need to take care of them. And some of the things that we put in our bodies are not really taking care of the machines. And so,
and I would just say, like, I think a lot of people really overthink nutrition. I just did a podcast on my podcast, Owning the Weight, nutrition calculus versus basic math nutrition. And like, people try to do calculus before they understand basic nutrition. And so really eat whole food in moderation and eat a balance of all the macronutrients. Like, I think there's so much out there, so much noise that we're like, oh, I can't eat carbs. And oh, that's got too much sodium. And this is this. And this is, and then, oh, wait, this contradicts that. It's like, did it come from the earth? Is it whole? You know, that is number one. And that's part of our philosophy at Fit Flavors is eat whole food in the best quality you humanly possibly can. And then portion control yourself. So even if you're eating cheese or chocolate or tequila or cake, like, have it in portion control. So enjoy yourself, because so much of our fulfillment, there's also our spirit and our enjoyment to like go out and be around people and eat things that aren't healthy all the time. I think there's healthy to eat those unhealthy things, because if not, we become psycho in our head. So like, it's balancing the mental with the physical benefits. So like, that's why portion control is great, because you get a little bit, but you don't overdo it. And then eat balanced. Because once you eliminate things, that's when you can start bringing in like deficiencies and real issues with like your health. Unless you're working with a doctor or you a specialist and you have a special need, I'm not talking to you, but the general population, those three things, those could change your life.
So good. I have to ask you, you know, what do you believe, Jillian, is the something extra that every leader needs?
I would say a grounding practice, just something that is performed by yourself, for yourself, to take care of your soul and your spirit and just keep you healthy and energized, because as leaders, you're constantly pouring out. So how do you fill back up? So whatever that is. And for me, it is time in the Word. It's doing hot yoga. It's cooking. And it's probably going to the gym. Those are my things. And I'm playing golf. If I can go play golf, like, those fill me back up. Those are my activities. So I would say you got to have some of those practices within your week to sustain you.
Yeah, very good. Well, Jillian, what are you excited about? What can our listeners get involved in? Because here's the deal, we didn't talk about, you launched your website in 2017, I believe it was, or 2018, where people can go online and order their food. I mean, you know, they don't even have to go to the store. So I'm so glad you did that, and you did that pre-pandemic. Because I'm sure, you know, during the pandemic, I'm sure your sales in that skyrocketed. But tell our listeners how they can get involved in that.
Yeah, if you're interested in Fit Flavors or what our business does, we make fresh meals for health conscious, busy people. I mean, most people are busy and they want to be health conscious. We got you. So, you know, you come into any of our stores, our associates can help you and answer your questions. You go online, everything is on there. You can search around. We have a nutrition blog you can subscribe to, where it's just very short educational things to educate you along your journey. But you can order and we'll deliver it to your door, or you can come into the store. We're open 7 days a week. As far as me, if you want to follow me, I actually put out a weekly newsletter. It's called Tough Love by Jillian. You can subscribe to that. You can buy my book. My book is actually sold only through Fit Flavors at the time, but I just released my audio. It's up now. So you can buy the audio book or you can buy the ebook on Amazon. But if you want the hardback, it's at Fit Flavors.
I have the book, Jillian, and I highly recommend people go and get the book. It's Owning the Weight is what it's called. And then your subtitle is Harnessing Your Spirituality and Mindset. Woo, that's loaded right there. So thank you so much. This has been such a delight for me to have you on today. I cannot wait to see, you know, what's next for Jillian, what's next for Jason and your precious kiddos and Fit Flavors and all that you've got coming up. So thank you again for making the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.